This is the second side of an interview with Mrs. Marie Miller, a Flemish-Belgian living on the west side of Green Bay, close to where her parents and other immigrants settled. She talks here of life in the community when she was young. She was born in 1901, and the interview took place on December 9th, 1975.
Saturday, I was at a luncheon. Ladies from our church gave at Ramada Inn, and I met a lady there who was an old neighbor. Well, she lived much further down Elmore Street than I lived, but we still considered them neighbors, you know. And she told me she had a rather strict stepmother, which I didn't remember because she is a few years older than I, you know. And she said she used to go to Elmore School, and my father, she was terrified of crossing these big ditches, always afraid she'd fall in. So my father used to help her over. She said she can remember him helping her across a lot of these ditches. And she said one time she did miss and fell in. So she went to my house, which was, as I say, Grand Central Station. And my mother took her wet clothes off and put a nightgown on and put her to bed. I said, I'm surprised you had a change of clothes. We had so few clothes. She said, well, she felt sorry for her. And she said, I never forgot it. She must have been just a very little kid. But that gives you an idea what our home was like.
Right.
What can I tell you more about my Grandma Waters and
her? You had mentioned that some of the people in that neighborhood were superstitious.
Oh, my aunt was highly superstitious. My mother's sister was very superstitious. And a good many of these Belgians did believe in witches. In fact, my Uncle Adolf, when I talked to him recently, he believed in them also. I told him about my aunt being afraid of this one particular woman. And he said, well, she had reason to be because she was a witch. I said, well, that's what she thought. I said, you don't believe in witches. He says, absolutely, because I saw some of the things that she did. And I said, oh, come on, Uncle Adolf. And he said, one time she was at my house, and my wife was standing near a clock on the wall. And he said, she was across the room, and she just looked at that clock, and it fell and almost hit my wife in the head. Well, that could have been anything. But my aunt, when she was sick in bed, and her granddaughter lived with her, and if her granddaughter said that this woman, she could see this woman coming down the street to visit my aunt, well, my cousin Florence had to go through a ritual that would spoil anything, any plans that this witch had.
What was the ritual?
I don't know. I didn't talk to Florence about it. I meant to, but I know one of the things was sprinkling holy water on the threshold. So she had no power when she got in. My mother and father were not. They were not superstitious at all, nor my grandparents. But just this one aunt.
Was everyone in the neighborhood Catholic?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Some of them, though, didn't go to church, but they were all Catholic. Yes. At that time, I think Green Bay must have been about 90% Catholic, because we knew very few people who weren't.
You had mentioned something about your parents' attitudes towards religion.
Yeah, they had no... we were allowed to associate with anyone. I mean, although I remember even when I was dating that Catholics were supposed to associate just with Catholics, but my husband was not Catholic. He didn't go to any church at all, and never was there a word said about him at home. But one of his friends, whenever he would meet a new girl, which got to be a joke among us, would say, she's a pretty girl and she's Catholic too, which of course put the lid on it. But my parents didn't. I know I walked to school when I was in eighth grade. I went to what was McCartney School on, was that Ashland? Yeah, I think that was on South Ashland. It's torn down now. And I walked with a minister's daughter, and my mother never said I yes or no about it. Never. Oh, I didn't tell you this, too, about foster children in Belgium. My mother had two foster brothers, and my grandfather, Motif, was a foster child. My mother told me that there, the orphanages had, the way she described it, I think it was more like a swinging window than a swinging door. And she said it had a little platform on, and if a girl, unmarried girl, would have a child and she wanted to leave it in an orphanage, she wouldn't have to come to the orphanage and be recognized. She could leave the child in a basket on this ledge and then turn the door so that the child would be inside the building. And so my grandfather, Motif, was raised by some people who got him from an orphanage, so we don't know much about his background, excepting that the name, which was originally Motif, with one F, was French. So they concluded that he was from some French orphanage. So I may be a quarter French, I don't know. May even be royalty, who knows? But my other grandma, Waters, had a baby boy who died, probably stillborn, I don't know. And she got a child, another boy from the orphanage, because she had milk and could nurse it herself. In those days, you didn't have formulas or bottles. Her other son was abandoned in a church, and she had also just lost a baby at that time, so she took that child. But I believe the government helped support these, gave some support for these orphans, you know. So having adoptions and foster children was sort of a thing in our family, you know.
Did anything like that happen after you came to the United States?
My youngest brother was a foster brother. He was a cousin. He was my Uncle Victor's son, and my Aunt Marie, or Mary, died when he was only, he was only 3 years old, but she developed tuberculosis when she was pregnant, so they didn't let her keep her son, and so naturally, where would he go but to our house? We had six kids already. All we needed was one more, and so my mother and father raised him, and he lives across the street now, and he was just like a brother. There was no difference there, whatever, only that my uncle didn't want him adopted. I suppose he thought someday he might take him back, but he never did. He was a plasterer. George's father was a plasterer. Yes, that was very common. And some of these people, my mother said, came to this country just as a lot of Germans did, to avoid the draft, the conscription for the army. A lot of the young men came. But of course, my father was married. I think every one of them was up for the army. I believe they all had to, just like during the wartime here, during World War II, I think everybody had a number that was came up in the draft, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And when they reached a certain age, I think it was 18, they had to go to Louvain and see if their number was called up. And my father was fortunate in not having his called up, but some of them whose numbers were called up beat it out of the country, like the kids did now, to Canada.
What were their attitudes then during the World Wars, serving in the World Wars?
Well, you
in
mean
this country?
About fighting the world? I don't really remember. My brother fought in World War I. And of course, my mother's heart was broken because they had seen enough of military in their country. But he came home all right. One thing my mother couldn't understand is how we could criticize, say anything about the president, which she said was all your life was worth in Belgium, would be to criticize the king. You couldn't go around saying anything about him. Mm-hmm. And she said, here people say anything they want about their president.
Do Do you remember any little songs or tales that your mother, father, grandparents might have
My mother had one story that I always remember, and I think of it so often about, I didn't tell you this one before either, about way back when Christ walked the earth with his apostles. He was walking around with one of his apostles, and they came to a shepherd sitting under a tree or lounging under a tree, and they asked him the way, and he was too lazy to get up and direct them. He just sort of motioned half asleep, and he looked as if he was starving and ragged. The apostle said to Christ, "You should do something for that man," and he said he would in his good time. So they went on further, and they came to a woman who was cleaning her house and busily engaged cleaning her yard and working like a little beaver, and she invited them in for lunch. And she fed them and waited on them hand and foot and busied around the house, and the Lord thanked her, and he said, "Is there something I can do for you?" And she said, "Yes, I would like a husband." So he said, "Well, I have just the man for you." And so he got the shepherd and married them. And as they went their way, the apostle said to him, "Isn't that a pretty dirty trick to play on a hard-working woman like that, to fluff off a lazy, good-for-nothing man on her?" And he said, "Well, I feel as though someone has to look after this shepherd." He said, "I can't just let him in the condition he was in." And he said, "She's a hard worker. She will take care of him." And he said, "If she didn't have troubles, which she will have with him, she would forget me." He said, "This way I'm killing two birds with one stone."
When did your mother tell that story?
Oh, a long time ago. And it just stayed with me because I see examples of it in the world today. And I try to figure out which of the two is the shepherd.
Did she tell that, though, at Christmas time?
No, no, it was just something she told me in conversation. She used to tell me. I learned more from her. I was with my mother a great deal. I loved to cook, and my mother did. House cleaning was not my cup of tea, but my sisters liked to clean house better, and I loved to be in the kitchen. So I think I heard more of her stories than any of them did, because she would tell me these things.
Can you remember any others?
Not anything like that. That's the one that really stayed with me. I thought it was so apt, and it's so fitting. She'd tell about how in their country they must have had a little stream running through their town, and she'd say the students, it would freeze over. Evidently it was shallow because they didn't really have extremely cold weather, and the students from Louvain, the university there, would come and skate on their little stream down in their village.
Did you skate in the winters here?
Here? Me? No, I never could skate, although the Fox River used to freeze so solid that they used to have skating rinks clear down the river, and even to have bonfires on the shore, you know, where you could go warm yourself, but I never went in for that. My parents were a little afraid of water, as I told you.
Do you know where that was?
I don't know. But I know we kids, when we go to St. Wilbrod's Church, would cut across the ice. And I remember one time we cut across, and that cured me for good and all. Must have been near spring, and the ice was booming and cracking, and I just was terrified, and I never crossed it again.
What did you do on winter nights?
Oh, we used to like to popcorn, and my father would play some card games with us. I remember one of them was a real simple game where you just, the highest card took the trick or something like that. And he used to call it Kirkola, which meant snail. And he'd draw circles big rings, you know, and you've all started out with a penny in the small circle at the top, and each time you took a trick, you could pull your penny down a ring. And of course, the object was to try to get yours out, and then you could work on somebody else's. But if you thought somebody else was going to get yours, you could also push it back. And he used to play that with us, and he used to popcorn for us too. But we were usually pretty tired by nights. That weren't much of a problem. Because as kids, we worked in not only in our own gardens, but we worked for Larson's Canning Company in their gardens. Mm-hmm. And all the neighborhood kids did that. And of course, I guess they liked to have us because they knew we were familiar with gardens. And we'd have to walk down to the corner of Gray and Shano, which was and early in the morning, we'd have to be down there, and then a truck would pick us up and take us to a farm they had in Oneida. And we'd have our own hoes and weeding knives and things, and our lunches, and we'd hoe corn, or we'd weed beets incessantly. They canned beets, or what else did they do? It was mostly beets that we worked with. And it was almost slave labor, you might say, but there were a bunch of us kids all of the same age. We picked tomatoes too. We did that. So we used to have fun out of it too.
Did you play in the garden, or how did you have fun?
Well, I can remember when we picked tomatoes, if the boss wasn't looking, we'd throw them at one another. And the boys would catch snakes, kill snakes, and wind them around the beets, and as you'd come along down the rows, you know, you'd grab a snake, dead usually. But and during the lunchtime, you'd fool around, play tag, and you know, everything that kids do. And on the truck, we'd have fun singing going home, you know.
What sorts of songs did you sing then?
Well, whatever was popular, you know. We didn't sing Belgian songs because we didn't talk Belgian to one another. I mean, we all spoke English.
Do you know any Belgian songs?
I sure do, but I'm not going to sing any. They used to sing one about a little farmer's daughter. Oh, I know something I want to tell you. They sing a song about a burinaka, they call it, which is a little boar. A boar would be a farmer, I think the Dutch call them that. You remember there was a Boer War down in South Africa. But what I wanted to tell you is that nearly everyone had a nickname. They all had such colorful nicknames, descriptive, you know. They called my grandpa Waters Johnny the Fisherman. Now, whether he ever did any fishing, I wasn't aware of it, probably as a little boy, but the name stuck. And I can remember a man that they called Witjanneke, which is White Johnny, and another one they called Rossian, who had red hair, Rossa being red. And if a man had the job as a baker in Belgium, his name was whatever something the baker, and that's how you'd identify them. So then their daughters would be, like my mother would be called Virginia, the daughter of Johnny the Fisherman. Mm-hmm. So that's the way they describe people. Or
in this country,
identify
too?
Them, yes. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was one of my parents' friends they called the Cricket. For what reason I don't know, but it seemed as though everybody had a little nickname, especially the men.
Huh. Did the women ever do handcrafts?
Oh yes, knitting. They knit. My mother could knit with her eyes shut. She knit our stockings when we were little, and mittens. And I always wore mittens, even when I was working a young girl. And in those days, well, gee, hand-knit things weren't prized as they are now. It was, you were really a hick if you wore hand-knit things. And I remember one time I was working, and I always had a very good job. I was a stenographer and had good jobs, and I was always very well dressed because by that time I could earn my own way. And one of my sister's friends said, "I saw that stuck-up sister of yours coming out of COPS today," she said, "and imagine what she was doing, pulling on a pair of knitted mittens." She thought was pretty low down, and she said she always wears mittens. My mother could make them just beautifully. She could knit anything. She knit us dresses and sweaters and everything, caps and...
Did you ever have a sheep?
No, we never had a spinning wheel or anything. I don't know if they spun wool in Belgium or not. But I think she told me that they had their they must have baked bread. You asked about them baking bread. They must have, I think she said their ovens were outdoors. And you do see them in Canada even now, those outdoor ovens with where they bake bread, brick or stone or something.
Was she still doing that when you were growing up?
Baking? My mother could bake bread, oh, just wonderfully, but of course in the house.
In the house, here.
In a wood stove. Mm-hmm. She could really bake bread and bake pies. My mother liked to cook. I must have inherited that from her. And I still like to bake, too. And I asked what their houses were like inside and how they slept, and she said they slept on straw pallets. And she said I don't think they had more than maybe two rooms. Their kitchens had brick floors, which they covered with sand. And when the sand was dirty, they'd sweep it out and throw fresh sand in. She said then when they were young, they'd make designs in the sand, you know, before anybody walked through it. And I believe they had fireplaces to cook by. And then their houses were all connected, like what we call townhouses now. I don't know what they call them then. But she said the attics were all open so that you could go from one attic to another. And when I saw the picture, the Diary of Anne Frank, that was in Holland where they were hidden, wasn't it? And some Dutch people had hidden them. And there, those attics were also open. So it must have been similar to that, because my people were similar to the Dutch people. Mm-hmm. In fact, they wore wooden shoes.
Oh, tell me about the shoes.
They always had wooden shoes, which they wore outdoors, not in the house, because they'd make quite a clatter. But the backyards in those days were muddy, and they'd work in the barns and gardens, and wear their wooden shoes out there. And then when they'd come in the house, they'd leave their wooden shoes at the back door and come in and put house shoes on, which was a saving, help keep the house a little cleaner. And anytime anybody would make a trip to Belgium, they'd ask them to bring back a pair of wooden shoes. And I can remember my mother having some that were quite fine, well, if you can call them dainty. But my father's were rough-looking shoes. And in later years, I think my father got his in De Pere from someone there who made his shoes in De Pere. Mm-hmm. I don't see how they could walk in them. We used to try, but we couldn't.
You never had wooden shoes yourself then?
No. Never. Better shut it off for a minute and see. My mother had a cousin, Justine Van Ermen, we called her. Her maiden name was Mays, and her mother was my grandmother's sister, my grandmother Waters' sister. Well, I don't know what became of her husband, if he died or if they were divorced or what, but she was left with a group of small children to support. And she used to go around hanging wallpaper, and she'd bring her children along with her, of course, because she had no place to leave them. And of course, whenever we needed wallpapering done, my mother would get her Stina, we called her, And in those days, she was really advanced, we might say. She wouldn't have, people wouldn't have paid attention to her. And now, she wore her hair short, which nobody did. Even as young ones, we didn't have our hair cut then. And she wore overalls to work because she had to get up on a step ladder. And she was just, she'd sing at her work. She was, come over and slap this paper on. And my mother would tell her, you're putting that piece on upside down. Oh, when it's dry, nobody will notice it, she'd say. She's the one who's on the pictures. She made a trip back to Belgium to visit.
Do very many people in the that used to live in the neighborhood keep up interest in their Belgian heritage?
Oh, yes. And a lot of them wanted to make trips back there, but my parents never cared to go back. They said they had nothing to go back to. Mm. They couldn't understand. One of their friends went back to live. You wouldn't remember this. One of their sons, or a couple of their sons, learned the bakery trade while they were in Belgium and set up a bakery over here, Frank Van's Bakery. And, he could make fancy, he knew all about cake decorations and everything which he had learned there, but they came back here. I can't remember if they came during World War I or World War II. But they came back and then they stayed here in this country.
Oh, they left.
They left and they lived. They wanted to go back to Belgium. Okay. They were homesick.
And then they came back mm-hmm. once again.
Well, speaking of superstitions, my grandmother Waters, some of the people thought she was a witch. And she was the most nicest little old lady. What? Why they'd ever think of her as a witch? Because she was the little apple dumpling kind of grandmother, little round grandmother, you know. And some woman came here from Belgium, a woman I don't know, and she lived over on Mather Street, and she was just literally wasting away because she was so lonesome. So my grandmother used to bring her fresh eggs, thinking that it would appeal to her, make her eat better. My grandmother always had chickens. In fact, she always had bantam chickens as well as other chickens. And whatever she'd happen to have, if she'd have three or four eggs, she'd bring them to this woman. And her neighbor next door was some relative, some way or other, I don't remember, very distant relative, but a good friend anyway. And she said to my grandma one day, Grandma, don't bring her any more eggs, she throws them away. And my grandmother says, why would she do that? She says, they're perfectly fresh. I bring them when they're perfectly fresh. And she said, because she's afraid you're a witch and that they will harm her. She thinks they're making her sick. And so my grandma was just heartbroken to think that, whether this woman died or went back to Europe, I don't know. But gee, to think of her as being a witch was just too much for me to even comprehend, you know.
Did anyone else in the neighborhood say that?
Yeah, Uncle Adolph's wife thought she was one.
What did she say about her?
Well, she just say that you had to be careful of her because she could cast spells. And my mother said if she could cast spells, why wouldn't she be better off than she is? If she had that much power. So we used to kid my mother about it and ask if it was inherited, you know. Probably she was one or one of us could have been one. But a lot of people definitely believed in that.
I was curious if anyone in this area was a member of the Spiritualist Church.
No. Mm-mm. None that I know of.
Because we've talked to some of the Walloon Belgians.
That were?
That were, yeah.
Oh, no. None that I know of. We were all Catholic. And I think my mother said that in Belgium that Catholicism was the national language and that the government supported the churches there.
National church.
And that I think that all the schools there were parochial schools.
Yeah. Did you have any church celebrations that you...
None that I can think of. But the priest used to come to our house quite often. Oh. My father was a semi-invalid. He got pneumonia one year, and it must have been, he must have been just in the 30s. Mm-hmm. And he never completely recovered, and every year he'd have a recurrence of a kind of a bronchial condition. And we had to be so careful. That's why we never smoked as flappers. None of us ever could smoke. My brothers couldn't smoke in the house. And anything like that. We couldn't make him, he told us never to make him laugh hard because it would set him off into a spasm of coughing. We'd have to be careful not to make him laugh. And so nearly every winter he'd be down and couldn't work. That's why we had to do all these things like selling vegetables and working in Larson's garden. There was no other way for us to live. And the priest would come and see him when he was sick, so we knew the priest quite well. Mm-hmm. Father and sister.
And the church that you go to was mainly Belgian?
Was
the Holland Church.
It was called the Holland Church. Because in those days they called the different churches according to whatever nationality of people went there. St. Patrick's was the Irish.
Uh-huh. Were the sermons ever in Flemish?
They were in Holland, in Dutch.
They were spoken in Dutch?
Uh-huh. In both English and Dutch, which of course we could understand and got a double dose of it. I asked my mother too what they did for a living in Belgium, and she said her father worked for there was a German duke who owned a castle there, and he owned a big forest, and my grandfather used to go on hunting parties with these men.
Wow. did he hunt in this country?
No, he didn't. Oh, they were just the beaters is what they were, really. They'd beat the game out of the brush, you know, so that these lords could shoot at them.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing this tape.
You're very welcome.